gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight. As we stand on our neighborhood corner, know that this fire that's burning represents the passion you have. Listen. I recognize all of you. Every creed and color. With that being said,
we had,
say what?
Now beat that.
Oh, yeah!
Now what we want you all to do is sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. Sit back, y'all. And just relax, y'all. And if you dig it, let me hear your finger snap, y'all.
Now, before I finish, let me just say, I did not come here to show out. Did not come here to impress you. Because to tell you the truth, when I leave here, I'm gone. And I don't care what you think about me. But just remember, when it hits the fan, brother, whether it's next year, 10 years, 20 years from now, you'll never be able to say that these brothers lied to you, Jack.
Okay, I'll reload it.
From the sports bars to the stands, we are the voice of the fans. You are now plugged into your sports mixtape. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house, and we are presenting to you the Ball Street Journal with your Ball Street Journal reporters, D, Ron, Trey, and myself, Floyd. Fellas, how you doing?
Doing great. We got a great guest on the show. We're going to talk about hooping, traveling the world, the ups and downs and of the women's game. We got a great guest, also an HBCU alum stepping into the building with us. So, of course, we always have happy to have our HBCU piece with us. But before we bring her into the conversation, out to the left coast, my main man, L.A. Trey. Trey, what's good?
What is going on, my brothers? Another great interview with an awesome guest. Out here in the land of Cali, where we're shaken but never stirred. But one thing that does shake me up is talking to another fellow sports enthusiast like the ones that I have with me in this building today. Let's get this thing started.
As usual, you can find us on Twitter at Section 357. You can also subscribe to and download the show on Podomatic, on iTunes, as well as on Stitcher by doing a simple search for the Section 357 show. With that being said, let's jump into this amazing conversation. We have a great guest today, Tiny Adams, joining us all the way from Bulgaria to talk hoops and the women's game. Tiny, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing out there?
We're doing great, Tiny. Happy to have you on the show. Let's start from the beginning up to now. You're in Bulgaria playing professional women's basketball. How did you get there? Tell us about your journey to where you are right now.
Okay, well, I first picked up a basketball in my grandmother's backyard in Far Rockaway, Queens at the age of 7. I was born in 1988, around 1995. From there on, I just fell in love with the game and everything about it. After first picking up the ball, you know, I fell in love with it, and I just stuck with it. So throughout high school and everything like that, I was fortunate enough to get a scholarship to Morgan State University. I went on to Morgan, and that's when I really blossomed into a great player. I basically have accumulated a number of records there. I'm the all-time leading scorer for both men's and women's. I have the all-time assists, steals, and singles season game record there for the ladies' side. And after that, I just went on to pursue my professional career. It was a little rocky. I had some agent issues. You know, I signed with one who didn't turn out to be certified. Then that set me back as far as the draft went. And then from there, I just kind of took it upon myself to make things happen. So I went to Puerto Rico to play for the summer. That got my foot in the door there, and from there I just sort of been pushing. After Puerto Rico, I went to Portugal. I played there for 2 seasons. I got hurt, and I had to get everything back on track. And I've been fortunate enough to play in both Bosnia and Bulgaria this year. So, you know, a little bit of my resume and my background with this basketball dream of mine.
Tiny, I want to start right there. You talk about taking control of your own career. I mean, you know, there's so many professional sports, agents, handlers control everything. You know, what is it like for you as a person who really is in charge of their own career? You don't have the agents or the big time backing. Do you like it better that way, being in control of your own destiny, or would you still kind of prefer to have that agent sort of in your corner? What do you think works better for you?
Well, I actually was fortunate enough to find an agent I liked maybe 2 months ago, but before that, to sort of give you the comparison, it's kind of hard when you're doing things on your own because you may not have those necessary contacts that you might need to get to, you know, the elite teams and everything like that. So when I was in charge of basically my own career, I mean, I had good opportunities, but it wasn't necessarily the best because those teams, they have certain agents that they only work with. So it was hard for me to get in contact with those teams and maybe even spark an interest. But like I said, I've been fortunate enough to find an agent who really gets me. I've been talking to him since September, and in January I finally got over my agent phobia and signed with him. His name is Lorenzo Galati, and the agency is called Two Points, and they're based in Italy. But prior to signing with him, it was a rough road because with this professional basketball world, it's like you never know what's going to happen. It's like I've been so close to getting deals, or I've actually had deals with contracts and flight arrangements, and then at the blink of an eye, something wrong happened. You never know, you know, which way it's going to go because of, you know, the economic and the financial problems each country is having on their own. May not be, you know, enough money in the country to support a girls basketball team, you know. So, I mean, it's been a journey. I've learned from my mistakes, and I'm forever grateful for all the opportunities I've been for that has prepared me for now. And linking with Lorenzo, who's a very good agent, I've been talking, like I said, September, so I kind of got an understanding of who he is, and I know most of his clients. So I believe I'm in good hands now, but it was definitely a struggle. It's hard to first you got to get the contact. Then you got to, you know, send your resume and your video out and everything like that. And it's just hard because sometimes they'll answer you, sometimes they won't. You just got to, you know, grind it out. I mean, last summer, I think I sent out 300 emails every 2 weeks just trying to draw interest because, like I said, I was coming back from an injury. So they weren't really interested, you know, dealing with players who have previous injuries. So I made it work for me. And this was something like my redemption season. You know, I feel like now everything's back on track and looking ahead for the future.
Wow, so you've got a pretty interesting list of countries that you've been to and played for. You've got Bulgaria, Puerto Rico, Portugal, Bosnia. What I'm curious to know is that I'm kind of old school with my basketball. I've been playing, goodness, since like the 80s as a little kid, just pick up games. And I remember watching the Dream Team play back in the day. And the level of competition of the U.S. players was so drastically different than the international scene. Well, here we are, it's around 2014, and the international level of basketball on men and the women's level has considerably increased on the international stage. So I'm curious to know, what's the basketball culture like overseas in an area where basketball is not just some small niche thing that's being played, but it's taken so seriously now?
Well, it sort of depends where you go. Like I said, I was in Bosnia where, you know, I've learned that, you know, as far as the girls go, they haven't really took basketball serious in some areas. Like, you may go to an area in Spain and they're teaching the kids from young, from 5 years old, 6 years old, all the way up. But in Bosnia, you know, after working with my teammates and sort of getting to know them personally, they were just expressing to me the fact that, you know, they just started playing. Like, the game has just become popular out there as far as the women's go. So it's kind of, you know, hard for them to, you know, be as talented or as trained or disciplined as the other players from America. But in Portugal, you know, it was very competitive. But here in Bulgaria, it's competitive. But no, we also competed in a Euro Cup league, which is basically where you would play in different countries. Like Euro Cup is basically where you can play. I played in Croatia, I played in Serbia, I played in Slovenia, and it's basically a tournament, basically. Like, you know, in a college game where you may have your non-conference games, it's something similar to that. So, you know, like I said, my team was from Bosnia. We played the other countries, and you can just tell the difference between Bosnian League and the other leagues besides, like, Serbia and Slovenia is way more competitive. So it basically depends where you go as far as the competition because, like, for girls, a well-respected league is Serbian. Bosnia is not too respected, but they still have, you know, three or four teams where, you know, they're very, very good as a unit. But it just depends on the area you go to and the clubs and the teams as far as their training and everything like that.
Tiny, I think a lot of us have our own perspective of what it's like to play ball overseas for women from the movie Love and Basketball, where the Malaysian character is in the locker room, off to the side. The coach is speaking in a foreign language to all of the other players. There's sort of a culture difference, a language barrier, obviously. So I'm curious, from your perspective, how are you fitting in? How do you adjust to the different cultures and places where you're playing? How's that been for you?
Well, for me, I basically tell everybody that it's similar to college without the book. Whenever somebody asks me how the overseas life is, I compare it to college without the book because when you're like an incoming freshman, you got to adjust to a lot of things, away from home and basically being on your own, and it's the same overseas. The only thing about overseas, like you said, it's a whole different culture, so you know, I've been fortunate enough to be on teams where I have a multiple amount of people who speak English around me. But I've also, you know, been friends with people who have maybe one person that speaks broken English or something like that. So you basically just got to adapt and adjust. I mean, one thing I like to do is, like, for the holidays and stuff, instead of coming home, I sort of stay out there to see how they celebrate it and just, you know, kind of take everything in as I'm traveling. But it is similar to what they showed on Love and Basketball. You'll have your coach speaking whatever the native language is, and then you'll have maybe an assistant coach or a younger player that can translate for you because most of the younger players learn English in school. It's very rare to find an elder person in another country that speaks very good English unless it has to do with their profession. So a lot of times, you know, the younger people, the teenagers, the high school kids, they'll help you out and sort of, you know, be that translator for you. But as far as the culture, I just sort of embrace everything. You know, I try all the foods. I try to speak as much as the language as I can. And, you know, I just try to get a full experience because, I mean, no matter what, it's what you make it. I mean, if you want to be over here and you want to be homesick and you want to be miserable, I mean, it's going to take you forever. I mean, the season is basically 6 to 8 months. So I, for one, don't go home. But, you know, that's 6 to 8 months away from home. So you might as well, you know, embrace where you're at and get the full experience. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a blessing. I mean, you're doing what you love and you're out of the country. So I just try to take everything in and adapt as much as I can.
This is the Section 357 show. We're talking with Tiny, the great Tiny Adams, HBCU alumni, Morgan State. And I want to take you back to your HBCU day. We have a lot of discussion on this show about HBCU athletics and sort of the ups and sort of the downs. I mean, your time at Morgan State, obviously not the biggest program, but still Division I basketball. What did you see as sort of some of the challenges of playing at an HBCU? Some of the things that you actually really liked being at that at a smaller school, so to speak.
One thing that I say that, you know, it was something that I really look forward to playing at an HBCU is gaining their respect. I mean, a lot of times you may, you know, play different teams in different conferences and they're already looking at you as a W. So throughout my college career, you know, I tried my best to pull as many quote-unquote upsets as possible. One thing I like the most about playing in the HBCU is just the environment. I mean, the school spirit and the support and, you know, just having everybody backing you when, you know, mostly other people are doubting you. Prior to my arrival at Morgan, you know, they weren't really a winning program. They won maybe 9 games in the past 3 years before I came. So I kind of went there to be that, you know, change. I wanted to change the program. I wanted to be the quote-unquote star. I just, you know, took the opportunity, and, I mean, everything worked out for me, fortunately. We took the team from a losing program to a winning program my whole 4 years, and, I mean, I think, you know, it just was a great experience for me, you know, being away from home and being at a historically black college, and it just has taught me so many life lessons, you know, coming up and growing there as an adult. So I think it was a great experience. I would recommend not just the HBCU, but if you have the chance to go away for college, I think either regular students or student athletes, they should take that opportunity to do so, because I think it's a great experience, because you truly mature and you grow up because you're basically on your own.
Injury is something that happens to all athletes. And when it does, the rehabilitation process is very important in order to get back on the court. There's been a lot of issues going on with performance-enhancing drugs over here in the States. I wanted to know, do those problems still persist overseas? And as far as your rehabilitation process goes to getting back on the court, is the process different over there than it is over here?
Well, one thing that's in the professional leagues here and as far as the WNBA and the NBA in the States is, it all depends what's in your contract. Some contracts can say that, you know, if you get hurt, they can send you home and you have to worry about, you know, basically rehabbing and everything like that. Or your contract can be where you can truly see that your team cares about you and they're going to have it in a contract that you're going to be insured while you're here, and if you get hurt, you know, you'll deal with the rehab and everything here in this country. But as far as the actual process, speaking from experience, when I got hurt in Portugal, basically I tore some ligaments in my ankle. And sometimes the way they do things is a little bit different than what we'll be used to here, I mean, there in America. So, you know, I went maybe 4 weeks, they had me in a boot, they had me on crutches and everything like that, as opposed to if I was in America, I would have been doing, you know, rehab to get the ankle stronger and everything like that. So, I mean, they have their different beliefs and how to go about the processes and everything like that. So it's a little bit different. Some people actually choose to go home if they get hurt overseas because, sad to say, they don't really trust how the European doctors do things. It's like, it's not as extensive as it is in America. Like, I can't really explain it, but what's the word I'm looking for? It's like they don't go that extra mile that you would probably do in America. Like here, let's say, for instance, maybe 2 weeks ago, I had a shoulder pain and I went to the doctor. You know, here, they just prescribe some pills. If you go in America and you have some shoulder pain, they'll maybe make you do some rehab to get the muscles stronger, or they'll have some heat and stem available for you. It's kind of different. I mean, you would prefer to rehab in America because of everything we have available, the resources and the different way we do things there.
Tiny, you mentioned that at one point you were be considered for the WNBA coming out of college, and you've since taken your talents all over the world. From your standpoint on your career, is the WNBA still the goal, or is it to play a bit of a hybrid schedule? Because I do know a lot of the WNBA players do play ball overseas when the WNBA is not in season. So what is your goal for your career in terms of where you would like to be playing and how you want to shape what it is that you're doing out there?
Well, it still most definitely is the goal. I mean, it's always been a dream of mine to put on a WNBA jersey. But right now, it's kind of hard to actually make that a reality. Basically, the whole issue about it is the roster spots and the roster availability. This year, they just did a new CBA agreement, so now they've taken the roster from 11 to 12, which is still, not that many roster spots if you think about it. They have 13 teams, and then, 13 times 12 is about 130-140 girls out of maybe thousands of girls, trying to pursue that dream. So you have rookies who also get drafted, but maybe 40 girls get drafted a year, and if you look at the numbers, maybe 12 or 10 actually make rosters because of, the lack of spots and availability. So, I mean, it's still my dream. I'm hoping that maybe I can get into a training camp or, turn ahead of somebody like that. But as of now, it seems a little possible because of, the lack of roster spots available. But, like you said, some girls, right after the WNBA season, they go on to play overseas, and sometimes it's just sort of keep it going. I mean, I know girls that play all year round and maybe take 2-week breaks, but I mean, they also just added, they call it, I forgot what they call it. It's like they added a bonus in WNBA contracts to sort of try to limit the amount of girls who go play, because the main reason for going to play overseas after the WNBA season is basically for money. In the top leagues like Russia, Turkey, and France, WNBA players are getting paid really, really well at about 60,000 a month or more and stuff like that. So a lot of times, most of the girls who play overseas after the WNBA season is also, to get some money and to, get the experience as well. But it's definitely still a dream of mine. I just have to figure out a way to maybe get a roster spot.
I wanted to change gears for a hot second, and it's a two-part question. First off, what's in your tape deck right now? What's playing in your CD player or your MP3 player? And then secondly, Tupac, Big, Jay-Z, and Nas, who are you putting into the Hall of Fame if you can only select one? Go.
Right now, I'm listening to Fabolous Soul Tape 3, and I have a playlist of Drake. I'm a big Drake fan. I mean, he can do no wrong in my eyes. So between Fab and Drake, that's basically what I'm listening to all day before games, after practice, throughout my day. For the second part, I got to go with Jay-Z. I'm from Brooklyn, so I'm kind of biased, but I got to go with Jay-Z.
Tiny, let the people know how they can get in contact with you via social media, any of the outlets you're on as you advance in your career and your profile. How can the people get at you?
You can contact me on Twitter and Instagram at TinyAdams_1. I'm also on Facebook, friend Tiny Adams. And you guys can just follow me, at me, mention me, and I'll get back to anybody who wants to, chat about anything, maybe ask for advice or just for suggestions or just, to, talk back and have fun with one another.
Tiny Adams, we really appreciate you taking some time to chat with us about what you have going on in your international basketball travels. Look forward to following you online and keeping up with all that you're involved with, and you're welcome back on the show anytime. Thank you for spending some time with us.
Okay, I'd like to thank you guys for having me. Hopefully by this time next year, I'll be releasing the autobiography and you guys can actually read some of the things in more in depth of what we talked about today. Once again, I want to thank you guys for the opportunity. You can follow me, TinyAdams_1, on Twitter and Instagram. And thank you guys again.
Yeah. You know the crazy thing is, they gon' talk about you when you ain't got shit. But then they gon' talk about you when you got shit. And see, they gon' talk even though they don't know what you had to do or what you go through. sacrifices. Seeing your family scrambling, that sanity damaging. Gotta make a move, can't just stand and be mannequin. Have a man who be managing, randomly standing in places he shouldn't. Trying to move that Pamela Anderson under. Standing be hammers and grandma be paneling. Cause them niggas from the other side are fans of me vanishing. New day, new funeral, my grandma be panicking. But I gotta eat, she just handing me sandwiches. And her appetite like mine got me scamming and scandaling. Riding shoddy with my homie, but I plan to be phantom and bumping something I can feel. Fam, I need sampling, not no Bieber on the hook. I need Anthony Hamilton, I got Molly, I got White, I be Hannah Montana, and like Amigo, it's illegal, but it's grand's in my hand again, so it probably ain't right, but this the land of the scandalous, to your own friends, snake, you probably can't understand it, then when you go, you just gone, all we missing is payments, Dr. King fought for my freedom, that I risk just the pay ring, ain't no love for these streets, ain't no kissing the pavement, yeah, I'm sick and tired of shit, they insist and be patient, but for what? To wait on that addiction, though, I wake up to some real shit. Them dreams I have is fictional, unless I go and get it. Don't stop, get it, two live crew, money in the loop, dancers with it. Jesus died on that cross, that's a sacrifice. Niggas dying for their cross, that's a sacrifice. Rosa Parks took a charge, that's a sacrifice. Your shorty took that charge for you, that's a sacrifice. Just do what you gotta do, baby.
Welcome back to the Section 357 show. And as we do on this show, it's time for Last Call for Alcohol or something like it. Last Call for Alcohol or something like it. Trey, what do you have?
Last call for all of our viewers and listeners. Please check out our blog. We keep constantly updating new stuff. Different viewpoints outside of what you hear on the show, things that might go off a little bit off the beaten path. And also, please keep in touch with us via Twitter, via Facebook, via any way that you can possibly think of. We're easy to talk to. Just hit us up. We'll answer any questions, and we'll catch you on the next show.
Big Shot Ron's Last Call for Alcohol or something like it. What do you have, man?
My last call goes out to the homie Drake. And Drake gives my last call because somehow, some way, he keeps ending up in the line of fire, a little hip-hop beef here and there, but he still gets the girls. Picture with Rihanna playing him real close, like she's all up on him. So despite the sensitive thing, despite the fact that he's a random target for hip-hop business, Drake continues to win out here, whether you like it or not. So Drizzy, man, you a survivor, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Floyd, your last call, take us out of here.
As usual, guys, my last call always goes out to the fans. Thank you all for checking out our show and for hanging out with us. Find us on Twitter at Section 357, as well as on all of the other platforms, as Trey mentioned earlier. Subscribe to and download the show on Stitcher, on iTunes, as well as on Podomatic. And with that being said, thank you for hanging out with us, and please do continue to pass the word. And luck to you and your favorite teams out there, wherever you might be. This is the Section 357 show, where we always have the best seats in the house. Until next time, take care.